A very interesting the readings and the propers of today, which recall to us the necessity of, first of all, thanksgiving to God for all we have. And, of course, it reminds us that there is nothing good that we have not received from Him, from God Almighty. And thus, St. Paul reminds the Corinthians, and these temptations arise in the hearts of the faithful from day to day, and it's been almost 20 centuries, and that hasn't changed. That there are some who think themselves to be someone. Now he reminds them, not long ago, you were heathens, and you went to dumb idols according as you were led. I therefore warn you and remind you, people of Corinth, and people of the church even of today. And this is very important also for those of us who call ourselves traditional. It's a very big temptation for people who call themselves traditional to judge everybody else. Some of them go all the way up to the Pope. Who do they think they are? And of course, I know very well, my back is as full of thorns as if I were a porcupine. That's just the way it is. It's not easy. You think he liked it when he was on the cross, when he was carrying the cross, when he was seeing all the betrayals that we would prefer upon him? So we are no different. But St. Paul reminds us and them, no man that speaks by the Spirit of God says anathema to the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, anathema basically means let him be damned. We use Greek when we don't want to be, you know, too picky about the language, because, you know, God forbid that we should say a quote-unquote bad word. It's not the word that is bad, it's the reality, and the reality of those who commit the sins. No one says, Lord Jesus. And when we say Lord Jesus, we say that we believe in Him, who is the second person of the Holy Trinity, made man through the cooperation of the Immaculate Mary, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, whose month in particular we celebrate, that we believe that He is the Son of God made man, true God and true man. Last week we saw Him weep over Jerusalem. We are Jerusalem. And how much did He not weep over all the sins that we would commit, that we do commit, and that we will commit? But no one says to Jesus, anathema. It is from the devil. However, if we say, Domine Jesu, it is by the Holy Spirit. And of course, our whole spiritual life is a Trinitarian life. And after Pentecost, in particular, though of course, this goes back to about the year 33, it's not like it just happened this summer, but in particular in the sacred liturgy, which replicates the history of salvation, after Pentecost, our whole spiritual life is under the guidance, under the power of the Holy Spirit. And thus he goes on and says, there are these things that some people do and the others, but they all come from the Holy Spirit. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit is given to every man unto profit. What profit? Eternal profit. that we may have eternal life. And then he goes on for the different virtues and gifts of the Holy Spirit. But all these things come from the Holy Spirit. And the gospel continues in the same vein. There were two men, two Hebrews. One was a Pharisee. And of course, the Pharisees had the reputation of being proud and thinking less of others. And the other one was a publican, someone who was thought of as a public sinner. And of course, we are in both camps at one time or another in our lives. So the Pharisee goes up, because in the temple, everybody was kept far away. Even the Pharisee did not go into the Holy of Holies. He was outside the Holy of Holies. And of course, if it was a Hebrew, and of course here it is a man that he's speaking about, the women were kept outside in the court of the women. So don't complain, you are allowed in the court now. But not then. And so the Pharisee was in the court of the men, but outside the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest and those who were commissioned to offer incense were allowed to go into the Holy of Holies, as we see with St. Zechariah and the annunciation of the conception of St. John the Baptist. And so the Pharisee went up as far as they could, but no more. For us, that would mean that we would be outside the front door. That's the way it was. And so, but that was a big deal. And so he begins to think of himself and how wonderful he is. And of course, he's thanking God, which is good. But I don't think God wanted him to thank him in this way. And this is something that we need to do in our examination of conscience. I give thee thanks that I am not like the rest of men. I am so good and so holy, and I observe the law. And look at these people. They're a bunch of ruffians. They're no good. I am somebody special. God has made me that. What foolishness is this? Pride. The worst sin. The sin of Lucifer. And every sin that we commit is ultimately a sin of pride. We secretly say to ourselves, though we don't have the gall to say it out loud, who is God to tell me what to do? And then we say to ourselves, and sometimes we do say it out loud, who is Canon to tell me what to do? Who does he think he is? And so they go on and on, sin after sin after sin. And so he condemns others and praises himself. The publican, on the other hand, and we don't know why he is a publican here, he's definitely not in the inner circle of the Jews. He was outside the door for sure. And he stands at the back and he beats his breast like we do at the Confiteor, at the Agnus Dei, at the Domine Nostrum Dignus. Beating the breast is a sign of penance, of humility, and of asking God for forgiveness. And so it's very important that we do it, because that is why the heretics don't do it. And some of those who have come along in the last 50 years that have destroyed the liturgy don't do it. Not that we're going to look down upon them either. They don't know what they're doing. Do we? So he beats his breast. And he would not even lift up his eyes. He was not worthy to see God. O God, have mercy on me. Be merciful to me, a sinner. That's all he says. And our Lord is most pleased. And he says to those who are listening to him, and this is a parable on the one hand, on the other hand, it's very real. Not only then, but now. I say to you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other, the Pharisee, who went down even more sinful than he came. Because everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, but he that humbles himself shall be exalted. And of course, we see this in the lives of the saints. The Blessed Mother, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to thy word. Let it be done to me according to thy word. The Blessed Mother, even though she was sinless and immaculate, humbles herself. And thus is made even better, because one can be even better. The Blessed Mother continues to grow and grow in heaven. And you can say, how can something that is full grow? The fathers of the church have stated that when we start out, we have a vessel this big, and the more we humble ourselves, then the vessel grows, and it is full, and it grows, and it is full of the grace of God. And so that's what you are supposed to be. How big is your vessel? Some people, it's like a thimble. Grow up. Grow. Grow in humility. Grow in the love of God. Like the Blessed Mother did. And she is the Queen of Heaven, the Queen of the Universe, the Mother of God, the Mother of the Church. The Immaculate Conception assumed body and soul into heaven. And then, our Lord, as he praises this publican, says he went back home justified. And so should we. We should come before the Lord, before his altar. And you know, that's one of the reasons why at the beginning of Mass, both the priest and the people humble themselves with the prayers at the beginning of Mass, at the foot of the altar. We confess, and we confess our unworthiness, our humility in the sight of God. And God is pleased with that. The priest first, because he needs to give you an example. And then all the people, because they need to join in that example of humility and love to our Lord. And so today, as we meditate on these mysteries, we could go on and on, but we don't have the time. We give thanks to God for all he has done for us. But we mean to remember, he has done it for us. We need to open our souls to him. Fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.